السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أشرف الأنبياء سيد المرسلين نبينا حبيبنا شفيعنا قرة أعيننا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، welcome everyone back to our session on Maraqi al-Sa'adat of Imam Ash-Shurunbulali rahimahullah. We are nearly finishing the section on creed, and we hope to do that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala today. So I will read through the text and then I'll translate it, and then we will bi-idhnillahi ta'ala conclude the creedal section of Maraqi al-Sa'adat. And we hope to begin next week the bab, the chapter on al-tahara, or purification. I'll read some of the text from the previous week, just so we've got some overlap and continuity. قال المؤلف الله ونفعنا به وفعل الصلاح والأصلح ليس بواجب على الله تعالى وتكليف ما لا يطاق غير جائز عندنا وإيمان مقلد صحيح لوجود التصديق وإن كان عاصيا بترك الاستدلال ومن تاب عن كبيرة صحت توبته مع إصراره على كبيرة غيرها فلا يعاقب بالتي تاب عنها ومن تاب عن الكبائر لا يستغني عن توبة الصغائر ويجوز أن يعاقب بها. The Sheikh, the great Imam Ash-Shurunbulali rahimahullah, he says, فعل الصلاح والأصلح ليس بواجب على الله. Doing what is optimal, or what's in the material interest, or what is best for ones, for us as creatures, is not an obligation on Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah is not obligated or duty bound to do anything that is optimal for his creatures. And this, but that was the doctrine of the Mu'tazila, the rationalist sort of group in early Islam. They believed one of their principles was the doctrine of ri'ayatul aslah, that Allah Azza wa Jal must do what is optimal, what is best for his creatures. Anything less will be an injustice on his part, and injustice is impossible. Impossible on Allah Azza wa Jal. وَتَكْلِيفُ مَا لَا يُطَاق غَيْرُ جَائِزٍ عِنْدَنَا. So the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal can burden a servant more than with something that they cannot carry or bear. So Allah burdens creatures with more than that they can bear. This is not something, according to Imam Ash-Shurunbulali, the school that he follows, the Maturidi school. It's not, this is not permissible for Allah. It's not possible for Allah to do. So related to divine justice is this idea that Allah wouldn't, and wisdom, Allah wouldn't override and make something so burdensome for us that we cannot bear it. So all ahkam al-shara'iyya are all obligations of the sharia, they can be carried out, because there's nothing in the shara' that Allah would order human beings to do that they cannot actually physically do. And then it says the belief of the muqallid, the one who takes something on someone else's authority without knowing the argument. Belief based in an uncritical way is valid. Why? Because one has tasdiq, one has conviction in the belief, but they are sinful for not doing it based on some kind of rational inference or proof. The rational proof doesn't necessarily have to be a syllogism, but there must be some kind of intellectual process involved, some kind of inference some kind of use of the mind. ومن تاب عن كبيرة صحت توبته مع إصراره على كبيرة غيرها. If one repents from a kabira sin, a big sin, then then that repentance will be accepted. That will be accepted. فلا يعاقب بالتي تاب عنها. And whatever one actually does a genuine repentance for, he will not be punished having made that sincere repentance. So one will not be the crime, the kabira, the major sin that someone commits and repents from. So if I committed a major sin and I repent from it, the belief is that one will not be punished for that if the repentance is sincere. ومن تاب عن الكبائر لا يستغني عن توبة الصغائر. But if one repents from doing an enormous sin, a major sin, that doesn't mean that because I've repented from a major sin, therefore I don't have to repent from my minor sins. We don't make that kind of aqli inference, because punishment and reward is not linked to what the aql thinks is right. Punishment and reward is linked to what the nusus, the Islamic text, the Quran and the Hadith, what they indicate. So if I make the inference that, well, I've repented from a major sin, this absolves me from making tawbah from my minor sins, then this is an invalid inference in law. Shara'an, this is a batil istidlal. I have to still make repentance for my minor sins. And it is possible, according to the texts, it is possible, ويجوز أن يعاقب بها. And on account of that minor sin, I can get punished for it. So I cannot make the inference that because I've repented from a major sin, that automatically involves or includes any repentance that I would have done for a minor sin. No. Repentance must be done according to the sin that one commits, whether that's a major sin or a minor sin. And Allah knows best. What was the other thing I wanted to mention? There's a commentary point here that I missed out. Okay, when I remember, I'll come back to it. Okay, Faslun, section. This section now is on the names of Allah Azza wa Jal and what's permissible and what's impermissible regarding them. And then there's going to be a summary or a conclusion from the author. Let me just see if I... let me just see if I've read that pretty much. Yeah, okay. Aslun. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, Asma'ullah ta'ala tawkhifiyyatun, fala yusamma Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illa bima warada bihi shar'u wa sam'a. Wa yajuzu itlaqu ism al-shay' wal-mawjood bil-arabiyya wal-farisiyya ala al-haq subhanahu. Wa kada itlaqu ism al-nafs, thumma innahu shay' lak al-ashya'. وأما اسم النور والوجه واليد والعين والجنب ونحو ذلك فلا يجوز إطلاقها بالفارسية من غير تأويل لأنها من المتشابهات بخلاف الأولين. So Allah's names, Allah's designated names, His beautiful names that He's given Himself, they are tawqifiyya. They are based on revelation. One cannot come up with these names using their mind alone. They cannot. These are tawqifiyya. They're based on revelation. We would not know what they are unless revelation told us. Even if we can surmise what they might be using our aql, using our mind. فَلَا يُسَمَّ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى إِلَّا بِمَا وَرَدَ بِهِ الشَّرَعُ وَالسَّمَعُ. Allah cannot be ascribed with names unless it has come to us through revelation and the sharia. It is permissible to refer to Allah with the following words, like a shape, thing. And this is because the definition of a shape is said to be that which exists. It is permissible to use the term al-mawjood, the existent. Bil-arabiyya wal-farisiyya, whether in the Arabic language or in Persian. So we can use their equivalents in Persian. So in English, shape would be thing. Wal-mawjood, the English equivalent will be the existent one. These will be permissible. These ascriptions, these names or epithets of Allah Azza wa Jal will be permissible. وَكَذَا إِطْلَاقُ إِسْمِ النَّفْسِ. Similarly, using the word nafs to describe Allah is also permissible. It's permissible. And this is because of the reference to it in the Quran. And so, for example, when it says, it talks about the meanings of nafs and shay. So it says here, thumma innahu shay'un la kal ashya. The reason why it's permissible to call Allah a shay, a thing, is because we mean, when we say Allah is a thing, we mean that he's a thing, but not like any other thing at all. And so the inference some people get for the permissibility of using shay is like from the ayah of the Quran, قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Which thing is greater, shahadatan, in terms of witnessing? Say, قُلِ اللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Say, Allah is the one who is a witness between you and me. But it says, قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ, which thing is greater? قُلْ, قُلِ اللَّهِ, say Allah is that thing that is greater. So by inference, we could use the word shay'. When we say Allah is al-mawjood, the existent one, some say based on, the mufassirun say based on the ayah in Surah Al-Nisa, the previous ayah was from Surah Al-An'am, لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. And they will find Allah, you know, forgiving and most merciful. They will find Allah. لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. So Allah can be something that's mawjood. His existence can be observed or found or inferred. Things like that. And then the word nafs. تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكِ. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Isa alayhi salam, Sayyiduna Isa, says, oh Allah, تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي, you know what's in myself. وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكِ, but I don't know what's in yourself. And some of the mufassirun gloss nafs, self, here to mean Allah's essence. Is that. Okay, so he says, وَأَمَّا إِسْمُ النُّورِ وَالْوَجِهِ وَالْيَدِ وَالْعَيْنِ وَالْجَمْبِ وَنَحْوَ ذَلِكَ. As for names like Allah is the light, Allah's face, hand, eyes, side, and things like that, فَلَا يَجُوزُ إِطْلَاقُهَا بِالْفَارِسِيَّةِ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَأْوِيلٍ. It would not be permissible to ascribe Allah with these names. It would not be permissible to refer to Allah with these names in a language other than Arabic, whether in English, Persian, whatever it might be, without min ghayri ta'wilin, without interpreting them properly. Why? لِأَنَّهَا مِنَ الْمُتَشَابِهَاتِ بِخِلَافِ الْأَوَّلِينَ. So these words fall under the ambiguous words of the Quran. These fall under the mutashabihat, ambiguous verses of the Quran, not the clear-cut verses. And so they need to be properly interpreted by those who are الراسخون في العلم, those who have deep and penetrative knowledge. So words that are ambiguous, like face, hand, eyes, they are interpreted not to be taken literally, because we've already established that position from Imam Ashurun Bulali, rahimahullah, from before. So they must be interpreted correctly. وبعض الألفاظ يجوز إطلاقها مضافة فلا يجوز بدون الإضافة كقوله رفيع الدرجات وقاضي الحاجات وهازم الأحزاب فارج الهم شديد العقاب لأن ننتهي في أسماء الله تعالى إلى ما أنهان إليه الشرع ولم يرد الشرع بها دون الإضافة. Now some terms come in a compound, i.e. they're composed of two words. They come in an idafa construct, a relational construct, one word belonging to another, or one word possessed with another. Rafi'u darajat. It will be permissible to make this compound construct, rafi'u darajat, the one who raises or exalts people in degrees and rank. This will be permissible to describe Allah Azza wa Jal, this kind of construct. Qadi al Hajat, the one who removes, the one who fulfills all needs. Qadi al Hajat, the one who, if you implore him, he fulfills all needs. Hazim al Ahzab, the one who destroys all groups and parties. Wa hazam al Ahzab wahda. We read that in the Takbir of Eid. وفارج الهم, the one who removes all worries, the remover of all worries, the one شديد العقاب, the one who's swift in sanctioning and punishing. Why are these allowed? Because these are mentioned in the Shara. So with regards to the names of Allah, whether they come in with as a single epithet or whether they come in a compound, we follow whatever the text tells us. We don't exceed the limits set up by the Shara, the revelation, the sacred law. And these names of Allah have not come except in that construct, in that idafa. So that's why he says, لِأَنَّ نَنْتَهِي فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِلَى مَا أَنْهَانَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّرَعَ. We only stop at what the Sharia stops at. وَلَمْ يَرِدْ الشَّرْعُ بِهَا دُونَ الْإِضَافَةِ. And the Shara has not brought these names of Allah except as that compound joined together. So if the Shara has brought these together as a compound construct, then we take them as a compound construct. وَلَا يَجُوزُ إِطْلَاقُ إِسْمِ الْمَحْجُورِ وَبَعْضُهُمْ جَوَّزَ لَفْظَةَ الْمُحْتَجِبِ لِأَنَّ الْأَوَّلُ يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْمَغْلُوبِيَّةِ دون الثاني والله أعلم. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah, he says, it is not permissible to refer to Allah as the veiled one, al-mahjub. However, some scholars have permitted the use of al-muhtajib, the one who veils himself. Why have they permitted that? This is because لأن الأولى, the first name, al-mahjub, suggests being overcome by something else. So when you're mahjub, you're covered, it gives the impression that something has an effect on you and covers you. So the first word, mahjub, has that implication or that connotation. Whereas the second name doesn't have that implication or that connotation. Al-muhtajib is someone who, you know, brings it on themselves to veil themselves. Whereas al-mahjub is an object of someone else's act of veiling. Wallahu a'lam, knows best. وَمِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ مَا لَا يَجُوزُ إِطْلَاقُهَا وَلَا إِطْلَاقُ ضِدِّهَا كَسَاكِنْ وَالْيَقْذَانْ وَلَا عَاقِلْ لِعَدْمِ وُرُودِ الشَّرْعِ بِإِطْلَاقِهَا وَإِطْلَاقِ ضِدِّهَا وَكَذَا لَا يَجُوزُ إِطْلَاقُ إِسْمِ الدَّاخِلِ فِي الْعَالِمِ والخارج منه عليه سبحانه وتعالى ولا يجوز إطلاق اسم الغائب عليه سبحانه ويجوز أن يقال إنه غيب عن الخلق سبحانه. So again, some terms that we can find are such that they need that neither they nor the opposites may be used to refer to Allah. So there are many words we can't sort of use for Allah, whether affirmatively or negatively, i.e. we can't affirm that word for Allah nor its negation. So, for example, we can't say that Allah is the one who is still, as-sakin, the one who is awake, wal-yayqadha, the one who is intelligent, al-aqil. Why? Because the Sharia has not come with these descriptions. Nor can we say the opposite, the one who is moving, al-mutaharriq, or the one who has doubt, the one who's asleep. We can't say that about Allah. Wal aqil. We can't say the one who's opposite of intelligent. Wal iyadu billah. Why? So the Sharia hasn't come with words and the opposites. And it's not left to the mind to decide what to ascribe to Allah. We have to follow what the revelation tells us. It is not permissible to say words like ad-dakhil wal kharij. These words, the one who enters, the one who exits. We do not use these words to refer to Allah. However, we can say about Allah, we can describe about Allah, innahu ghaibun 'anil khalqi. Allah is hidden from his creation. We can say that kind of phrase, because we're describing a reality about Allah. We're not attributing a name that we think is appropriate for Allah. Okay. Next section. Faslun. وَمَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ خُرُوجِ الدَّجَّالِ وَدَابَّةِ الْأَرْضِ وَيَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ والنزول عيسى عليه الصلاة والسلام وطلوع الشمس من مغربها حق. So eschatological events. Whatever our Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم, whatever he has informed us about the end time events, the events that will unfold at the end of time, like the emergence of the Dajjal, the beast of the earth, the Dabbatul Ard that will emerge, Gog and Magog, or Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the descent of Isa alayhi salam, the coming down of Isa alayhi salam, or the re-entry of Isa alayhi salam, again, the descent, and the rising of the sun from the west. These are all realities that are true. They will happen. They are haq. They are events that will unfold from the end of time, and these are realities that our Prophet has informed us about. وَلَا نُصَدِّقُ كَاهِنًا وَلَا عَرَّافًا وَلَا مَنْ يَدَّعِ شَيْئًا بِخِلَافِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَالْإِجْمَاعِ الْأُمَّةِ فَهَذَا دِينُنَا وَإِعْتِقَادُنَا ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا وَنَحْنُ بُرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مِنْ كُلِّ مَنْ خَالَفَ الَّذِي ذَكَرْنَاهُ وَبَيَّنَّاهُ ونسأل الله تعالى أن يثبتنا على الإيمان ويختم لنا به ويعصمنا من الأهواء المختلفة والآراء الردية مثل المشبهة والمعطلة والقدرية وغيرهم ممن خالف الجماعة وحالف الضلالة ونحن براء منهم وهم عندنا ضلال. We affirm, so we do not affirm any we do not believe or give any credence or accept or affirm things that the diviners or soothsayers say. Nor do we accept, nor do we give credence to, nor do we believe what anyone claims in opposition to the Kitab and the Sunnah and the consensus of the entire Ummah. Some put here Ijma' al-Ulama. The Ummah here means Ulama. We do not give credence to that at all. And this is our religion and what we believe in, both outwardly and inwardly. we are absolved from, we are free from, ونحن براء إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى من كل من خالف الذي ذكرناه وبيناه. Everything that we have mentioned and clarified above, we absolve ourselves from those who oppose it. We distance ourselves. We remove our bara. We remove our walat from these people. We remove our closeness and bond with these people. We are bara from them. We are far from them. We remove our connection from them. We ask Allah, the Most High, to keep us firm, to keep our belief firm, and to give us a good end, i.e. to end our lives on that belief, on that true i'tiqad, that true belief, and to protect us from the people of desire and those who have who follow their whims, and they carry, all those who carry sort of vile and wrong opinions, such as the mushabbiha, the anthropomorphists who make Allah, you know, into like creation, and the mu'attila, those who negate Allah of his attributes, or the qadariya, those who believe that Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, that the servant creates the actions, that Allah doesn't create the actions, and others, mimman khalaf al jama'a wa halaf al dhalala wa nahnu bura'u minhum wa hum 'indana dhalal. There, and all the other groups who contravene what is agreed upon by the community and who side with deviation, we absolve ourselves from them, and they are, according to us, misguided. Then he says, rahimahullah, in the closing paragraph, oops, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ الْكِرَامَ الْكَاتِبِينَ وَالْحَفَظَةِ الْمُوَكِّلِينَ وَنُفَوِّضُ عَدَدَهُمْ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ كَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم أجمعين أبدا سرمدا عددا ما كان وما يكون في الدنيا والآخرة ويوم الدين والحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله نسأل الله العفو والعافية في الدين والدنيا لوالدينا ذريتنا ومشايخنا وإخواننا في الله والله أعلم. Then he says, we believe in the malaika al-kiram al-katibin, we believe in the angels, the noble angelics, the noble angels on our sides, the scribes, the noble angelic scribes, as well as the al-hafadha al-muwakkilin, the guardian angels that have been appointed by Allah Azza wa Jal. And they, of course, are deemed to be the same angels. And then he says, وَنُفَوِّضُ عَدَدَهُمْ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, we consign the exact number to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Like we have belief in all the Anbiya, all the prophets and messengers, may Allah be blessings and peace be upon them all forever into eternity. There's many blessings that number all that have ever existed and will exist in the dunya and the next life. So basically, you know, countless blessings and salawat and salutations and blessings on all the prophets forever and ever and ever, according to the number of those who have lived and will live in this world and the hereafter. And then he concludes, rahimahullah, all praises belongs to Allah, like he began with the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who guides us to this truth, this deen, the Sharia, and the one who guides us to this, and we would not have been guided unless Allah guided us to it. It's only by Allah's grace and mercy that we attain this guidance. And so we ask Allah for pardon and well-being in our religious and worldly affairs, for us, our parents, our teachers, and all of our brothers. And Allah knows best. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. So that concludes the creedal section on Imam Ashurun Bulali's Maraqi al-Sa'adat, the Kitab al-Tawheed part. What we will be doing next week, insha'Allah ta'ala, is we will begin with كتاب الطهارة, the book of purification. So I will end it there, and I will leave it to any question that anyone might have. Feel free to ask. In that case, if no one has any questions, بإذن الله تعالى, we will resume next week, where we will begin Kitab al-Tahara, Book on Purification, from Imam Ash-Shurunbulari's Maraqi al-Sa'adat. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.